everybody, and welcome to Nerd Alert! Girls. All right. Okay, real quick before we get started, I want to take a moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gaborone Tongva people and Keech Nation. I am your host, Bridget, pronoun she, her.
Hey, everybody, and I'm Jen with the G, pronouns she, hers. How's it going, everybody? It's been a spell, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, well, first of all, just want to say we are so excited to be here today to talk about the Super Bowl trailers. The Super Bowl Marvel trailers, lest we forget what kind of podcast we're on here. Just saying. But you know what? You know what? We did better than the last time a Marvel trailer dropped in the Super Bowl. What did we talk about Falcon the Winter Soldier like 2 months after it came out in the Super
Bowl?
Yes. So I think we're making pretty good progress, if I do say so myself. But yeah. Yes. So we are here to talk specifically about the Doctor Strange trailer. Well, actually trailers, since we haven't had a chance to talk about the first one that dropped either. We won't be covering the Moon Knight trailer because we both feel like between us and Caroline have pretty much shared our piece as far as Moon Knight goes in terms of our thoughts of the trailer. The Super Bowl one didn't add too much that we felt like we needed to discuss, so we'll just stick to talking about Doctor Strange today. So if anyone is like dying to talk about Moon Knight, just like go back and listen to our first trailer conversation about that we did previously. So just FYI.
Just FYI. Also, I have nothing really new to add, so sorry, but we're still going to watch it. But for now, we got a lot more to talk about with Doctor Strange. So yeah, we have definitely a lot more to talk about Doctor Strange with the new content it gave us. And oh my gosh, I lost my mind a little when this trailer came out. And not just because America Chavez had decided to grace the screen again, even though I almost like burst into tears right then and there, but there's just so much going on that I'm just like, whoa, where do we begin?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say for both of the trailers that like it continues to push the boundaries that Doctor Strange, the first Doctor Strange movie, already, you know, started to put in place in terms of like mind-bending, trippy visual effects that you're just like, you know, even just like looking for a few seconds, you're just like, what is going on? You know, in terms of just like it drawing you in and, you know, in terms of like the prism effect, you know, and like things looking not quite like the way they should, which kind of reminds me of New Moon Knight now I'm talking about a little bit. Like there's this like, especially I feel like with the Multiverse of Madness, there's like an extra layer of like, it's cool and trippy, but also kind of dark. Where you're just like,
yeah.
Are you dreaming? Are you not? I mean, it even opens, actually, with... It's funny, I was just saying we were not going to talk about Moon Knight, but now I am. But, like, Doctor Strange, like, in the opening of, like, the Super Bowl trailer one, it's, like, he says, like, you know, I have the same dream, and then the nightmare begins. I don't remember the exact line, but, like, you know, he talks about dreaming, right? Yeah. And he, like, you see him wake up in the bed, and you see, like, his face... like in reflected in like the watch on his bedside table that's like the watch that's like broken, and it's like, you know, there's this element of like sort of like what's reality, what's, you know, what is your waking hours, what is your sleeping hours, and what's happening in the middle, you know, it's like the lines are getting blurred, you know. And I think that actually it works really well as a metaphor for the whole distortion of reality, right? Because you think about like, it actually reminds me a little bit of this book series that I read, or like this book that I read called The Dream Treaders by Wayne Thomas mm-hmm. Batson. And it was about like this kid who like had the power to like be conscious in his dreams. Like he was like a sort of like a, I forget the exact, it's been a while since I've read it, but like, you know, one of his tasks was to fix like these patches in this dream world that he like would enter in when he fell asleep, you know, like that was his job. He had to like, there's regular like little holes that would pop up all around like, you know, the dream world, so he had just like to tie it up and repair it again. And if, you know, they're left unrepaired for too long, then like things start spilling into each other across the worlds, and then like the line between reality and being awake starts to blur, and there's this threat of like a nightmare king who wants to get out into the real world, and like it gets into a little bit like it's for like a younger audience, so it doesn't get like it actually does get kind of dark, but like you know, there's this like moment where like he comes back, the kid comes back from a dream, and like he realizes that like, oh my gosh, this thing that happened to me in the dream, like it was like some anchor or some object that was like tied to him. He comes back and it's still there. He's like, this stuff usually disappears when I wake up. So like, ooh. Yeah. So like, I bring that up because again, it's like this playing with like, oh, this is so cool. He's a dream trader. He has all these powers. And like, you know, it's like sort of like trippy and like psychedelic a little bit, but then, you know, things start to get distorted and the dream world breaks into reality and you're just like, oh, things are kind of warping out of place. And there's this darkness, right? That's trying to leech out into like the daytime, right? Like, and dreams mm-hmm. are associated with like night and sleep and like a little bit of that fear monster under the bed. Anyway, so like all this to say is this, like it really evoked that idea for me in terms of the Doctor Strange trailer and the Moon Knight trailer. Like they're both getting into like this whole like what's real and what's not, and like the scariness of dreams, like the nightmare part of dreams.
Yeah, it looks like it gets pretty real. It's really, really so trippy. And I know we use that word a lot, but there's literally very few words to describe that level of chaos that goes in this trailer. And I can only imagine the full extent in the movie itself. I mean, there's this one scene where it seems like Doctor Strange is either falling or fighting with someone, and both characters start to sort of break apart into cubes. It looked really sick, you know? And a bunch of other little things, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm pretty sure that was with America, right? I think I recognized her denim jacket.
Denim? Yeah, I think so. Just either way, you can tell that things are about to get real. I mean, for those of you who have not seen Spider-Man No Way Home, please go watch it. What's taking you so long?
Yeah, no, literally, don't watch Doctor Strange without having watched Spider-Man No Way Home. Like, straight up. Like, they're related. I mean, what was it that you were reading on Wikipedia before we started recording, Jen?
So, I'm looking up at Wikipedia to see if there's any additional information I can glean. And it says, for the premise, following the events of Spider-Man No Way Home and the first season of Loki, Dr. Stephen Strange, with the help of both old and new mythical allies, travels into the multiverse to face a mysterious new adversary. And I'm looking at this and I'm boggled because I'm thinking, wait, Loki? What? You know, because Spider-Man, I totally get. Not only was Dr. Strange a huge part of that movie, but the whole multiverse thing was kind of hinted in that movie that apparently has spilled over to Doctor Strange's movie that he's still obviously feeling the repercussions of, even if he probably doesn't know why it happened because of Peter, you know? But Loki, that one kind of threw me off a little. I'm just like, really? You know, and I had to rethink what happened in that last episode of season one.
You had to go back and look, which does not speak well of the Loki finale. That you had to go back and watch it. Yeah, no, it made sense to me as you were telling me that, because I was like, okay, yeah, because it showed in the end how like it the sacred timeline branches off into all these different branches, and you're just like, oh yeah, okay, the multiverse is becoming a thing, which like, I don't know, I'm still confused about the whole like TVA and Loki thing, like of just like, okay, so like, did the other universes only start existing after Sylvie did what she did in Loki? Because I'm just like, I mean, you know, I guess it's because of like how the movies are released in our world, but I think of like, you know, Spider-Toby and Spider-Andrew, and like, you know, I think of them like they existed before Peter's did, though. But like,
if, exactly.
Like, I, you know, but like, I'm like, but is that like canon in the MCU, or did their timelines technically actually exist after after Spider-Tom's, like in like the MCU? I don't know. I don't really want to put too much stock in just to how exactly Loki is going to feed into this. I mean, if it does, all right. I hope that they explain it better in this movie, but like I also don't feel like they need to waste a lot of time on it. Honestly, just like as far as I'm concerned, it's like, okay, ramifications of the whole Spider-Man No Way Home thing, whatever. All the pain. And all of it. Yeah. And like, I mean, because also like Wanda was playing around with like, I guess explicitly multiverse stuff. We thought she was with like the whole fake out with Pietro, but I don't know. I feel like the multiverse was already kind of like a thing in all of our heads and like.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, yeah, it is interesting though. And I'm surprised that like it doesn't mention What If too, because What If, I mean, I guess What If does exist as its own like separate anthology, but like it informs so much of how I saw this trailer. I mean, like the shot of like Strange stepping out and like the buildings are kind of disintegrating reminded me a lot of when, you know, Doctor Strange's world was disintegrating in his episode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Kind of like strengthened by the fact that we saw evil Doctor Strange again, oh no, this is happening.
Right, and I assume it's not the same one, not the same dark Doctor Strange from What If, because he's busy guarding the hamster ball with Eric Killmonger and Arnim Zola. Sorry, yep. it's a cosmic hamster ball. Come on.
It is. Let's be honest. They just keep running and running and running with nowhere to go.
So I'm pretty sure it's not the same, you know, Strange, Sorcerer, Supreme, whatever. But
Sinister Strange. He has a name. Oh my gosh, Sinister Strange. It just, I was tickled pink by that, folks. I do not ask me why. It just, once I saw it in the captions on YouTube, I was just like, oh my goodness. Just okay, Sinister Strange. Okay, he's back, and it's like you said, Bridget. It's definitely not the one that we know from What If, but that's what worries me a little. I'm like, at least that one is remorseful for what he's done, you know, and he's kind of sort of turning a new leaf in a way, I guess, you know. But this one clearly has not turned that new leaf or reached that revelation yet. The Watcher has not gotten to him yet. Makes me wonder if the Watcher will even show up, but we have a lot of supposed cameos, apparently. Supposedly Loki's going to show up. And I'm just like, really? All right. I don't mind, but really?
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't hate it, but that's mostly because I like Tom Hiddleston a lot.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, as far as we know, though, from the trailers, we're only seeing America Chavez and, you know, Doctor Strange and Wong and, oh my gosh, what's the name of the black guy from the
Carl Mordo?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I just was like, oh yeah, he's back. That, it's a little bit like, we haven't seen him in such a long time. I'm a little bit nervous about that like, the casual viewer, even me as a viewer, is just kind of like, oh yeah, we care about him because he disappeared off of the face of the MCU, you know?
Truly. Yeah. I had to look him up. I'm like, okay, I know he's back, and it's about time that he came back. There wasn't even hints of him coming back, but oh, there he is. Oh, what happened to him again? Oh, right, he's jaded, so he's gonna go after sorcerers on, like, a killing spree of sorts, you know? Okay. He's back, and I wonder if he's the new adversary in the multiverse that the premise of Wikipedia speaks of, but I'm also leaning towards a new villain. In fact, some of the directors and people of the MCU were saying that they were thinking of bringing in a new Doctor Strange villain known in the comics, this guy named Nightmare. And I know this guy, like, a little bit. He was a main villain in this one segment of Moon Girl that I caught up with, but basically, this villain, he lives in, like, a dream realmscape thing and can turn dreams and nightmares into reality on the other side, but he has a hard time doing it. And he goes up against Doctor Strange and apparently Ghost Rider a few times. This guy's terrifying. Like, even though Moon Girl is definitely more lighthearted than, like, say, Doctor Strange, he definitely gave me the chills, you know? So I hope they bring him on, because he sounds like a very powerful villain, especially since we're talking about the multiverse. It sounds like it's right up this guy's alley. So I hope that Carl, that he does have his spotlight again, because the dude really was just kind of ignored for years.
Yeah, it's like, it's been a long time, and so it's kind of like, okay, you're gonna have to do, I think, a little bit of legwork to, like, remind the audience who he is, you know, and to, like, show how he's, like, a credible threat, you know? Because I think of, like, you know, a lot of other villains, you know, and MCU has its issues with villains, I guess, but, like, right now, he just feels like, and I think it's just because it's been a while, too, like, he feels like small potatoes.
A little bit. Right?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh yeah, you're back. And I'm just like, that brings no reaction from me, you know?
And yeah, like, so I feel that.
Yeah, so I just feel like, I mean, I'm not saying that he can't become, like, important or intimidating or, you know, just like, oh, okay, that's a very effective protagonist, an antagonist. But they're just gonna have to do, like, a little bit of work to get there. So I'm curious if they will. But, like, honestly, yeah. I'm less concerned about him and more concerned about Wanda. let's get into that. I mean, this line gave me the chills when she, you know, you hear her voiceover, you break the rules and became a hero, you know, and it cuts to, like, Strange looking at the, you know, magnificent statue of himself. You know, you break the rules and become a hero. I do it and I become the enemy.
Oof.
That doesn't seem fair. And it's like, oh my gosh, I smell the anti-hero arc, like, in full force. I mean, I already was with WandaVision, of course, but, like, it's even more powerful than before. I mean, there's just, like, a real, like, edge of bitterness. And there's also, like, I love the subtle commentary on gender there, too.
Yes.
It's very palpable for me because, again, it's like, yeah, you are praised and uplifted. Like, you, as the man, did what you had to do, and you broke the rules, and, like, you're applauded for that. You know, I think a little bit, too, of, like, Steve with, I know, I'm bringing up Steve, how, big shock. But, like, you know, he breaks the rules, right, to rescue Bucky and the other, you know, other soldiers and everything, and he's applauded, and then, you know, but later, Isaiah Bradley does the same thing, and, you know, he's thrown into prison, right? And it's like this, I mean, this is different, right? This is like a white man versus a black man, but, like, it's a like, I don't want to equate them as the same thing, but it was, like, reminiscent of that, like, in terms of, like, oh, you, the, like, white man were, like, applauded for, you know, rebelling, right? Whereas we were, like, shamed or suppressed or, you know, what have you, right? And so, like, that's an interesting thing in and of itself, too. And, you know, even just, like, again, like, it's a very striking image of, like, as she's saying that about him being considered a hero, this giant, like, bronze statue that's, like, 10 times his size. He's looking up at it, right? And it's, like, yeah, it's, like, glorious, and it's very masculine, and it's very, like, powerful. And you think of, like, all those monuments that are, like, scattered across our own country, like, which, you know, all these, like, proud American men, you know?
Basically, yeah.
So, like, it's like a very strong iconography there, and, you know, and then it cuts to her, you know, in her Scarlet Witch crown and everything, and she's just like, meanwhile, like, I'm villainized, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, but I will say, to be fair, you know, Strange didn't enslave a whole city, like. It's a little different, Wanda. Like,
yeah.
He was impulsive and, like, he brought in a bunch of multiverse madness, pun not intended, you know, with Peter because they were being dumb, you know? But, like, you know, he didn't, like, take away people's willpower. It's a little bit different, Wanda. Like, just you know, establishing that fact, you know,
but
I still feel like it is true, though, in even just thinking about her perception or people's perception of her in the MCU in general, right? Because, like, I think of even, like, her in Civil War, where everyone is just so quick to blame her for what happens in Lagos, you know, even though, like, she did the best that she could. And if it wasn't for her, like, so many more people would have died, and, like, Captain America would have died, everyone in the, like, you know, And like, you know, just the way she's vilified and like, you know, Tony Stark like has her on like house arrest and everything, you know, and it's just like, yeah, we don't really trust you. And, you know, and there's this whole thing about Vision says to her, if you do this, they'll fear you. They'll never stop being afraid of you. And she's like, well, the only fear, you know, I have to be concerned about is my own, right? And obviously, yeah. I'm not quoting that exactly, but like that's her whole thing. And like, so this was, you know, even before, you know, WandaVision, you know, where she does take over the town. So I think it's still like a valid point to make, you know, in terms of like, oh yeah, you know, she is vilified, you know, and seen as a woman like who is so powerful and cannot be controlled, right? I mean, her magic is chaos magic. Like, that, it cannot be controlled. She cannot be controlled. And obviously, the patriarchy has a problem with that. So, like,
basically, yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. And just like you, Bridget, I felt chills when she spoke that. I was just like, oh, crap. Oh, my gosh. Especially since we see that the multiverse kind of affects her as well, where you see that scene where you've got Wanda and her Scarlet Witch get up just sort of meditating, and then you've got like Wanda as Wanda with sort of like a hole in her head, almost as if there was an infinity stone there that was ripped out, like a certain possible husband of hers. God. Just sort of, oh my
God. Cups her cheek, like her own cheek, and like you're just like, which Wanda am I looking at here? Yeah.
Yeah, so the fact that she got dumped on, yes, I get it, but it's like what you said, what she did was purely selfish and purely toxic. But I get her, like, perception, like, yeah, we broke the same rules, like, for different reasons, but at the core of it, we broke the same rules, you got applauded for it, I'm the bad guy. So I wonder how that's going to come into play, you know, because it does seem like this movie's going to take like a fully dark, and I am all for that, you know, especially since they kind of mentioned like that this MCU movie is going to play on some horror elements, which I'm just like, yes. Bridget's like, no, and I'm like, yes. Yeah.
So the way that this is gonna go down when this movie comes out is Jennifer will be watching this without me. I recommend she find some kind of buddy, because I feel like a certain movie should have taught her not to watch Marvel movies alone for the first time. But you know, I need someone to pre-watch this for me, because if it's gonna be scary, I want to watch it from the comfort and safety of home, where I can watch it in broad daylight and pause it when I need to.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And don't worry, I'll find someone who will at least tolerate the movie with me. This is coming out May 6th. That's plenty of time to find somebody. I got this. Maybe. Either way, I am ready for the darkness. I've been watching Daredevil before they take it off of Netflix. I am prepared for all the darkness. I am prepared for Moon Knight, more or less. I am prepared for Doctor Strange, more or less. We're going to do this, folks.
I guess. May's not going to be a fun month for me. I'm going to say that now.
I was going to say the first half of 2022. I mean, we got Moon Knight coming out in March, and then we got May with Doctor Strange. Ay, ay, ay. But hey, good news. Supposedly, we're getting Professor Charles Xavier back.
Right. I didn't know who I didn't like recognize Patrick Stewart's voice right away. It wasn't until I read the comics I was like, oh yeah, okay, I hear it now. Yeah, okay, right? X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen like maybe two X-Men movies with the Patrick Stewart's Charles Xavier. And one of them with James McAvoy as Charles Xavier. So I'm kind of familiar, you know, more or less. But I recognize Patrick Stewart's voice, like, right away. I've heard him in so many things. And I'm just like, oh, Sir Patrick Stewart? Wait, does that mean Professor X? Are you coming in, sir? You know, like, I lost my mind a little, but only for the fact that, oh my God, X-Men! Oh my God, who are we bringing in? You know, especially since this is, like, one of the most powerful Marvel characters ever.
Right. I mean, and he has mind powers, which makes sense a lot thematically for this movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If anyone can tame the multiverse, it would definitely be him. This guy is insane. I'm curious to see like how he's going to fit into this, because it looked like he was in some sort of a environment that kind of reminded me of the TVA, if I have to be honest. You know?
Like some kind of council, and they're all in these like silver robes. Yeah.
I was wondering what that was.
It's a little Lord of the Rings-esque too.
Yeah, like a sci-fi superhero Lord of the Rings. You know, just, all right, is this happening? Who else is there? What other powerful beings are we getting? Because having America Chavez is pretty awesome, because she's one of the more powerful characters too. Still relatively new, relatively fresh, but she can travel in between multiverses and dimensions, and it is super strong and super powerful. So I am pleased as punch that they are bringing her in. And what I kind of like is that I don't have to worry about Doctor Strange being yet another weird mentor to a impressionable youngin, because this is the kind of girl that's just like, no, you're stupid. I don't care how many years of experience of superhearing you have. You're wrong. I got this, you know? So there's no way that this movie's going to head in that direction, the whole mentor-mentee thing, because America Chavez is her own independent person. So that leaves me a little relief. And again, I am just super happy that they have someone. And thank God that they have Saoirse Gomez there. I don't know her very well, but she looks just like the America Chavez I know in the comics. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, it'll be... because I haven't seen anything with Saoirse in it before this point. And you haven't either, right?
I have not, but she looks like America Chavez, how they've designed her in her comics.
Hmm.
Got that sassy Latina look about her. I love it.
Okay, and we can say this because we are sassy Latinas, okay, before anyone...
You're sassy Latina.
Don't come at us, please. I really need to dive into America Chavez in the comics, because I've not really read anything with her in it. I'm all Miles. I'm sorry.
Dude, start with Young Avengers.
I know.
Bouncing off of the other characters is brilliant.
Yeah. Plus Wiccan. Anyway.
Wiccan! Yes.
Yeah, and like, he's probably going to make an appearance. We don't see him, but like, I'm sure he does.
Yo. Yes! Oh my gosh. Him and his brother? I hadn't even considered that, because I know we kind of had a feeling that Wanda was kind of looking into her boys, you know, at the end of WandaVision. But I almost forgot about that. I was too busy thinking, oh my gosh, she is totally going to go rogue in this movie. But that's a real possibility.
I mean, is she going to go rogue for them? You know, I mean, that's like what it's implying at the end of WandaVision, that she's doing it, you know, she hears their voices the last minute, right? Like I think she's tapping into that so that she can have her boys again. Which is an interesting motivation for her to have, right? It gets at like this like more sympathetic angle of just like not that like she isn't sympathetic even without that, but like it's a different kind of sympathetic angle in terms of like, you know, she's a mother who's lost her sons and she wants to get them back, you know?
Yeah, you would think that she would try to find another version of Vision or her brother Pietro out there, but the boys. All right. I'll accept that. Mother's love and all that.
I mean, she could be multitasking. It's a multiverse after all.
Yeah, she did mention Vision, which gives me hope that like he might be brought back again. But then I know Marvel.
We have the white Vision floating around somewhere. We don't know what he's up to.
He's there somewhere. They better bring him back.
That would be a weird plot thread to leave hanging if they don't bring him back.
Dear gosh. Marvel's got a lot going on. They're juggling a lot. Whether or not they actually drop the juggling balls that they're going for is a whole nother thing. But either way, I'm pretty excited about Doctor Strange in the multiverse. It looks like a wild ride, and I am so strapped in for it.
Yeah. I wish I could be more excited. I'm just like, it's gonna be scary.
Don't worry, I'm excited for the both of us.
Thank you. Yes.
Yay.
Thank you, sacrifice. It is gonna be like, I think definitely mind-blowing. And I like that Sam Raimi has a chance to like, you know, dive into the MCU. I mean, he technically started the MCU now.
Ooh, yes, that is
canon now.
Tis canon. Sorry, RDJ. Sorry, Tony Stark. Not really sorry. it's Sam Raimi now, all the time.
All day, every day.
So yeah, that's interesting and really cool that they're bringing him back into the Marvel fold, so to speak, to direct this movie. I think is a very interesting choice, and I'm curious to see what he does with it.
Yeah, he does have experience with horror movies. Actually, he directed Drag Me to Hell, and he's an executive producer for the Don't Breathe duology, which awesome movies, by the way. So I'm pleased and relieved to know that he's not flying in this blind with like, oh, I've done a superhero movie, I've done whatever, but no horror. No, we don't have that. He's got some horror movies like under his belt. We should be in for a ride here, and hopefully not fall into the dumb horror tropes, because yes, I know this is a Marvel movie, but I know what horror tropes there are that I'm just so tired of seeing at this point. So hopefully he puts a creative spin on things.
Yeah, the only one I could think of is like, don't split up! Don't do it!
Splits up anyways. Go check out the noise.
Yeah, check some of the noise, yeah.
No. So, yeah, May 6th, here we come. Let's go.
I hope they don't do the other horror movie trope where they kill off the black guy first.
Oh my gosh! Right, I hope I see more thing, right? Wong. I missed him. I hope they bring back Wong a little more. I miss him. Like, what little we've seen of him in the Spider-Man No Way Home and in Shang-Chi was just like, I miss him. So much.
He's so tired. He looks so tired in this movie.
He's been the Sorcerer Supreme for like 5, 6, 7 years by now. Mm-hmm. He's done with this.
Wong's been done, man. He's been done since he was a librarian. That'll wear honestly, down your soul.
You just, you felt it. You seen it. You tasted it. Just, he is done. He needs a vacation after this.
Yeah. And I wonder if, like, I mean, I only bring this up because Wong, like, was hanging out with Shang-Chi at the end of that movie. Like, is Shang-Chi gonna show up at some point? Like,
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know what role he would play. I just wondered just because, like, Wong is like calling him in for help with something, and that was with, like, you know, Mark, I want to say Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner, with Bruce Banner and Carol Danvers, like, also on the scene. So it's like, okay, are they dealing with like the multiverse thing, or is this something else that like Wong is asking for Shang-Chi's help with?
You know, oh my gosh, if Shang-Chi comes to this movie, I will scream. Like, I don't care who's around me.
Yeah,
I will scream. Plain and simple. Just can't stop me. Oh, so many potential possibilities.
Yeah, no, it's lots of things could be happening. Be interesting. Yeah. I will not hope that, like, my I don't know what's, like, off the wall headcanon is like, oh, they'll bring in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, Daisy, they'll introduce the Inhumans. I'm a bank on that. That'll be my crack theory. that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will become MCU canon again.
Oh.
Yeah, bring them back, yo.
Let's do this.
Anyway, yeah. Anything else you want to say about this trailer or these trailers, I guess?
As for now, no, I don't have anything else to say. Just that for once, I am glad I watched the Super Bowl for this.
That's good. Yeah, I just knew I had to wait until you or Caroline texted the thread. I'm like, all right, now I know to go to YouTube.
Okay, we good. Up. Jen took the bullet for us. We got this.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We're excited to you know, see all these scenes come down the Marvel pipeline, and you know, being able to talk about them more in depth. Coming up, lots of things so keep up with us on we post as often as we can. When Moon Knight comes out, we'll probably be posting more regularly with, and you know, in addition to like the Doctor Strange, and like, we still gotta do that masculinity podcast. We got a lot of things to, a lot of ground to cover. We will be covered, rest assured. We are here for you and all your Marvel needs. So yeah. So just hit us up on Nerd Alert Girls, nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com or our website at nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com. Leave us a review on Spotify. Yes, you can leave reviews on Spotify now and Apple Podcasts. So it helps other people find our show, or just tell your other friends about the show if you enjoy listening to us ramble on and talk about our theories and be dorks together.
Yes.
Basically our MO. And talk about gender and race and like all those other things that maybe aren't as discussed as much as they should be. Yay.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Nerd Alert.
Girls.